Rivers have been a source of poetry since poetry has been an outlet for deep human experience. Li Bo has river poems that continue to be shared 1,300 years after he lived, and who can forget Langston Hughes' The Negro Speaks of Rivers. But Sara DeLeo has written a poem from the point of view of one of the largest rivers in northern BC, the Skeena River. The author of 4 literary books and 2 academic texts, she earned a PhD in geography and makes a living as a researcher on medical humanities and health inequities. A native of northern BC, we talked to Sara via Skype and or Google Hangout today about Skeena, the book, the river, and the task of writing as a river. Sara, great to have you in this setting.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for setting this up, and also, of course, for being part of the really, I think, innovative Cascadia collection that came out last year. I think, you know, there's an increasing number of people who are interested in sort of human health and well-being and human communities as they're inextricably related to rivers and the natural environment. So surely concepts like Cascadia sort of allow us to think about that. So
that's high praise. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad you're making some of those connections. And I did intend to talk about Cascadia, but I'd like to talk to about you and get a background for people who've never heard of you or don't know your work. You're a native of northern BC and split your time between 2 places right now. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Paul, although I'll just be totally frank and say I cringe a bit with the concept of native, given that I'm a geographer who studies colonial geographies, and I am quick to point out that we are, most of us who are not Indigenous settler colonial subjects on the lands that are now conveniently and through colonial mapping sort of divided up into what we call British Columbia. So yes, I grew up in northern British Columbia. I actually grew up on Haida Gwaii, erroneously named under colonial settlement the Queen Charlotte Islands, which I'll sort of oscillate back and forth between calling Haida Gwaii and the Queen Charlotte Islands, in part in deference to a very good friend of mine and another poet, I think you know him well, Cecil Giskin, an incredible sort of Black theorist who works through poetry also to think about colonial geographies, who reminded me once in an interview that Queen Charlotte may have been the UK's only Black monarch. So it's interesting that Blackness is sort of subjugated in the renaming process of a geography like Haida Gwaii. But when I grew up there in the sort of late 70s through the 80s, of course, we all knew it as the Queen Charlottes, as the Charlottes. So I grew up on Haida Gwaii in the Queen Charlottes, in both Port Clements and in Queen Charlotte City. And then at sort of the end of my grade 10 year for my final 2 years of high school, my family left the Charlottes, left Haida Gwaii, and we moved to Terrace, which is really kind of at the crux of the Skeena River, sort of in the heart, if you will, of the Skeena River watershed. So yes, I've spent the vast majority of my life in northern BC, and really touched in all of those geographies by the Skeena River watershed.
Thanks for the correction. Yeah, a native of northern BC. In other words, you were born there is what I was shooting for, but I get the correction. And I also get that it's very important in BC poetry circles to announce at the beginning of readings that the reading is happening on unceded territory of various Coast Salish tribes. Further south would be Musqueam and other tribes. So thank you for that correction. It's a habit that I'd like to see, you know, us, we Southern Canadians get into a little more, although we are not in the situation that you are with unceded territory necessarily, because there have been treaties, Point No Point and Medicine Creek and what have you, that, of course, all have been broken, but that's another subject. So tell us about, well, first of all, there are a couple of follow-ups to your answer that when I think of Terrace, I think, of course, of George Stanley, who spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if your paths when he was in Terrace crossed.
No, they didn't, although they kind of did insofar as I went back to Terrace after I'd traveled the world and after I'd completed my undergraduate degree, an undergraduate degree in creative writing from UVic. So then I went back up after I taught English in South Korea, which many of us did in the early 90s in a desperate attempt to sort of pay down our insurmountable student debt for those of us that came from families not privileged enough to have paying for their kids' education. So I went back to Terrace after having not made quite enough money to pay off my student loans. I went back to Terrace in order to coordinate the Women's Center there. I worked for a number of years with the Kasan House Society, which is a society for men and women who are sort of living close to the street in systemic states of poverty. I worked with the Transition House in Terrace, and I worked with the Women's Center. And at that time, George Stanley was working for Northwest Community College. And I knew of him. I came back to Terrace really, you know, I think that there's such malignment around northern and rural geographies that I moved after having lived in Victoria, spent time in Vancouver, I moved back up north to the great chagrin of many writers sort of in the lower mainland, in that urban heart of British Columbia. I actually had people say to me, like, how are you even going to live in northern BC? And, I think that there is this incredible, as I said, malignment of rural northern geographies. And I went back up, and I did feel somewhat like I was failing somehow, like I hadn't made it in the city. And I was returning to these places that I'd grown up in, these really tough, muscular, marginalized communities, where it didn't feel really apparent that there were poets. But I heard that there were people like Barry McKinnon and people like George Stanley and people like Ken Belfort, people, many of them men, I might add, but that there were these people doing something poetic in northern BC. And I didn't actually have enough gumption at that point. I think I was in my early 20s. I think I was about 23, 24 when I moved back to Terrace and really wanted to start my life as a poet. I couldn't quite get myself together enough to go up to the college and see if I could meet with George Stanley. But I definitely knew of him. And I have to say that the presences of people like Ken Belford and George Stanley and Barry McKinnon, many of them writing in a somewhat, I would argue, masculinized nature tradition, but nevertheless being there as people who, for those of us who were young female feminist authors and wanting to be an author, we knew about. So they peopled the landscape with their presence. It made poetry somewhat possible. And that was incredible. That first year that I moved back, I entered the Bronwyn Wallace competition. I think that was in 1996 or 1997. And I was chosen honorable mention for the Bronwyn Wallace that year, writing from Terrace. And I remember having my name in the Globe and Mail and also, again, feeling like, wow, maybe we can write in these geographies. Maybe we don't have to be in Vancouver, Victoria, Toronto, Montreal. Maybe there is this possibility. And I would argue that certainly folks like George Stanley, before he abandoned us and moved to Vancouver, he did open space for those of us wanting to write in these geographies.